Welcome to South Jersey's Main Street Real Estate Agent Podcast. In this show, five-star real estate agent Nancy Kowalik explores the world of real estate and all things South Jersey. Here's your host, Nancy Kowalik.
Hello, I'm Nancy Kowalik, South Jersey's Main Street Real Estate Agent, and we are doing our series on what makes South Jersey special, right? Today we're at Coda Rosa, which is out here in the Franklinville area. I'm sitting here with John, who's the winemaker. So going right to the horse's mouth here in terms of learning about this winery and what makes it special. I mean, obviously the views, the vistas, it is magnificent here. You've got, as in tradition, you've got the roses at the end of the at the vines, right? So tell us a little bit about what kind of grapes you're growing here.
So for the most part, it's Chamberson. So we have about 15 rows of Chamberson vines, and then we have 10 rows of Crimson Cab, which is a hybrid of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Nice.
And then our newest vines are called Cynthiana. Those are about 2 years old now, pushing 3 years old. So they have probably another year and a half before we're actually going to be able to harvest those grapes.
Nice.
But as far as anything else, that's pretty much all we have here right now.
Okay.
We do source other grapes from other New Jersey wineries.
Yep.
And then we also have an extensive California wine list in the winery.
Nice.
So we also source a lot of our grapes from California as well.
So I'm a Jersey girl, but California wines are good. So I'm just going to say that too, right? Obviously, California wines.
And it kind of gives people a different experience here.
Yeah.
So we're not just offering New Jersey wines. We also have some premium California grapes coming in, and
we
make some excellent California
wines.
That
is good to know. Yes. I like that. Yes. So I might have to try that later. So right now, John, you told me that, you know, you've been a winemaker. You've kind of grown into this position here,
right?
And you came in because the owners brought you into this area recently, right?
Right. Yep. So I started making wine about a year and a half ago. The owners originally hired me as tasting room manager, and then they decided that they also needed a winemaker. They kind of pulled my hand in both directions.
Yeah.
So I started making wine at their other facility. That's kind of where I learned how to make it. And then I just went from there. So we did my first crush, press, fermentation process last year with all the grapes from Coda Rosa. And then obviously some of the grapes that we got from California as well.
Nice. How many people are involved in like figuring out the flavor of a particular wine?
It's myself and one of the other owners. He's like considered the master winemaker.
Okay.
So me and him collaborate whether or not we want to blend wines upon crush or crush separate varietals into barrels and then blend halfway through from our aging process or do it all at once. So it's a lot of give or take. It also depends on the quality of the grapes that we get when it's ready to crush. So like I said, the process isn't set in stone.
Right.
It has a lot to do with how good your fruit is and the quality of the fruit. So I'm still learning what the best way to go about it is. But I think this next vintage that's coming out is going to be lights out. New Jersey and California, likely, they should be great.
Nice. Very nice. So I can honestly say in Jersey, I've learned, as I was saying a little bit earlier, that like the Cab Franc is like, for me, Cabernet Sauvignon is like my thing, right? But when I drink it here in South Jersey, it tastes different.
Right.
But the Cab Franc has got that full body and that flavor that I'm looking for with still the dryness, right? And so what I'm drinking now has...
So this is Cordest. Cordest is primarily Chamberson that is behind us right here.
Right.
And then we source the Cab Franc and the Merlot from other wineries in the area. But yes, the Cab Franc gives it that solid body as well as that Merlot. It gives it that deep color. And then the Chamberson ups the acidity.
Gives a little spice or something,
gives it a little bit of spice. I mean, we use two-year-old American oak barrels for this.
Okay.
So it does impart a small amount of oak flavoring.
Right.
And then it ages in that for 6 months. And then we pull it out, put it in stainless steel. This gives us control over how much oak flavoring is actually imparted into the wine. Because you don't want too much.
No.
You want to get the grapes.
Exactly.
You want them to shine through the wine.
You definitely do.
So that's a pretty good example of that.
It is. No, it tastes great.
Good.
It is. I'm definitely enjoying it. I'm trying to sip it and behave. Just saying. But so how many barrels will you guys produce or bottles will you produce in a year? Like I know that so this will be something that you ramp up, I guess, even more.
So we're still trying to get our inventory up so we could do as many festivals a year. So we have two upcoming festivals in September. And then we also have our grand reopening end of September, September 24th. And we're going to try and pack this place in.
Nice.
Right now we're looking at hopefully close to 100 people.
Wow.
I'm gonna try and double that in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of promotion for that. But right now we're making a barrel of each wine.
Okay.
So you're looking at 288 bottles of our full menu. So that's 15 different wines.
Got it.
This next upcoming year, we're getting right into harvest time and winemaking season is upon us.
It is.
So I want to double that. I want to do two barrels of everything just so we have stock of this vintage, and then we could put it on the shelf and pull it out as a library wine for the future.
Nice.
So that's what we're looking towards.
So you're looking to do the whole thing. I love that. It's not you know, coming into every winery distillery has like a different story. Some of them are smaller and they approach things differently. Here, because you have a couple of different businesses feeding into this, or kind of, you know, there you have more resources, I guess.
Yeah, you have the ability have more to do resources. More. It's been owned by this new ownership for a year and a half now.
Okay.
So they're still trying to get their feet wet within New Jersey wineries.
Yep.
And it's kind of just a whole learning curve for everyone, including myself.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens
next year. Me too. So what do you think about Jersey? I mean, South Jersey wines, have you mostly been in this area?
Yeah. So, I mean, I live in Toms River now, but all the South Jersey wineries, they put out an incredible product, whether it's a sweet wine, whether it's a dry wine, whether it's a sparkling wine.
Right.
Everybody has their own thing, like you were saying.
Right.
But no matter where you go, whether it's on the South Jersey Wine and Ale Trail, they're part of the Outer Coastal Plain Vineyard Association. Mm-hmm. It's all different, and everybody does a really good job as promoting themselves and what they stand for as a vineyard.
Very nice. Any parting thoughts that you want to tell our audience in terms of what's your vision? Because you're the winemaker here. Tell me a little bit about what you would like to
say. So, I mean, right now we're still making a lot of wines that the old owner had made, and I'm still trying to just come up with new ideas. I want to come out with a sparkling wine. I'd like to come out with another sweet rosé wine.
Nice.
A couple more whites. We're trying to get more vines here at Coda Rosa of different grape varietals. So I know me and the master winemaker have been talking a lot about getting Treminet, which is a very popular white wine in New Jersey. And then obviously we want to grow our own Cab Franc, and we want to grow our own Merlot. And then we also have the Crimson Cab, which I mentioned before.
Yeah.
I want to come out with a straight varietal of Crimson Cab.
Oh, good.
Grows really well in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. And the barrels that we have in stock right now are actually looking pretty good. So that might be something in the near future that you may see.
Nice. All right. So what's your personal favorite?
That's a really tough question.
I know.
I really do not like sweet wine. I don't mind making it, and I love watching people enjoy it.
Of course.
But for right now, I mean, Coeur d'Est is definitely at the top of my list.
Oh, nice.
And then we also have a wine called Tukulu with Cab and Syrah. So Pinotage is a native grape of South Africa. We source it from California, but it's just all around a great wine. You don't need anything to accompany it. You could sit on the couch at night and I'd like to finish the bottle sometimes. So, I mean, that's probably the top of my list.
I can't say I don't relate to that one. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so I'd say Tukulu is probably my favorite, and then Coeur d'Est is right behind it as far as New Jersey goes.
Nice.
So
nice. Well, thank you for taking your time today to give us a little bit of insight from your perspective, because it's rare to get the winemaker's perspective on it.
I'm here a lot.
That's kind of cool. That's good. Well, so intrepid viewers, if you're here, you might get to see John and ask him some more questions. Everybody has their different geekiness when it comes to wine. Some people really like the taste. Some people want to know the history. I love everything about it because it's so organic and it is different. It's not going to be the same wine year over year. Sometimes that's a disappointment. Other times it's a beautiful thing. So it kind of depends.
Hopefully it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
Every time. That's what we hope as winemakers.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I appreciate you coming by.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was really nice to meet you. Thank you for your enthusiasm and your time in the wine.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And we're going to talk next to someone else that you're going to find here at the winery. And so we're back with Michael, who is the tasting manager and really the events manager. I walked in the door and he couldn't wait to tell me about some of the events coming up. And so I wanted to bring him in so we could discuss some of those things. And Michael, tell us a little bit more about, you know, you're here doing tastings and you have the pleasure of meeting a lot of people, a lot of groups. Mm-hmm. And they're never in a bad mood when they come to a winery, are they?
No. So the my whole objective with people that come here is I want you to come in, laugh a few times, and...
Of course.
Yeah,
a little happy and shiny.
Just happier than you came in, for sure. Right. And one of the things I just introduced to Coda Rosa is the summer sangria. So not everyone is a wine drinker. And, you know, we have DDs that come, or just friends that are trying new things, like wine virgins, you know?
Yep.
And a good way to introduce that is... Sangrias.
Yes.
So the sangrias are totally taking off. Right now we have a peach sangria and a mango sangria. The mango is definitely selling better than
mango.
The peach.
Nice.
Yeah. And which you will be trying later. And so we'll be behind the camera.
Twist my arm.
So it is fun getting people to you know, just try new things. Mm-hmm. And we can do it in the bottle or the glass or the pitcher.
Right.
And it's just a matter of, like, getting people here, sitting down, and just, you know, enjoying each other's company.
It's a nice place to unplug. I mean, I think, so I've been to a number of breweries. I'm not, so I will drink a beer on occasion, but it's mm-hmm. pretty rare because I'm just, the heaviness just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of breweries don't have other options. There is a few that are coming up with some seltzers or some other things. So the fact that you are branching into other things, recognizing that it's not one size fits all for everybody.
It's not, no. Yeah. Ironically, we actually have a wine here that we recommend for people who drink IPAs. We have a wine called the Sweet Jane that's made with Niagara grapes, which is not a very common grape that's used on the East Coast.
Right.
The best way to describe it, it's a thin skin, so when it ferments, it's very sweet in the mouth, but when right. you swallow, it has a very bitter aftertaste, like a pithy grapefruit. So
okay.
it's, I hate IPAs, but different. It's very similar to the bitterness okay. that you get from an IPA.
I got you.
Yeah.
So someone coming in here, you have an option for
we have
that.
Something for everyone.
I like that. I like that. It's very smart. It's interesting going place to place and trying to figure out, you know, I'll get together with my brother or my sister-in-law, my friends, and it's like, this one wants this, this one wants that. And it's like, okay, I'm going to make the call. Let's go someplace where it all kind of works. And you just kind of have to take that risk. I think coming here, it's quiet.
It is. And we're hoping to change that, but it's not, hear me out. It's not the hustle and bustle. We're a very small venue.
Yes.
So, well, although the seating is limited, it's enough to accommodate like a hefty crowd, you know?
Right.
So, but it is nice. Like you can hear the birds.
Maybe the better word is peaceful. It feels peaceful here. And that's a nice thing. It's one of the things I love about South Jersey because you can find little pockets like this where it's just like, you feel like you've escaped the world.
Yeah. And it is. So we only grow the red wines here, but that's another cool thing is too, like the customers or the guests that come here, like you can go into the vineyards and actually eat the grapes off the vines.
Ah,
like,
cool.
You know, a small thing, but
of course
something, but it is, it's nice to be on a quiet little niche of the world for as far as wineries go. A lot of them in the area, you're right, are totally, they're loud, you know, they can get loud, they can get crowded, but it's nice with the limited seating because it's nice to be able to do this.
Feels more intimate.
Exactly.
Right? More intimate. And listen, you as a business, you want it to be loud and bustling and everything, but there are people that like a little bit of intimacy, like the quiet, like the peace, you know, especially when you're open during the day. So not that I'm encouraging day drinking, but it's not a bad thing in South Jersey. You can take a day and just kind of enjoy that.
It. Churches encourage day drinking on Sundays. I don't want to hear it.
I know I like that. I know I like you, Mike. That's perfect. Exactly. So, but it really does. It's that home away from home kind of thing, that breakaway. We say when I go day drinking, I'm like, it's like walking out of a theater. You know, if you're in a bar or someplace where you've had lunch and you have a drink, and it's like walking out of a theater. It's like, oh my God, it's daytime. Here you can sit outside in the sunshine and enjoy it.
And that's another thing too, because it's a very small staff. We get very close with the customers. That is so important. Like, I feel like the newer customers that are coming, like we've already had return customers and they're saying, it feels like a second home. Like, this is my friend Mike. Like, it's cool. It's really awesome to have that connection.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
That's what we're looking for. That's why I call myself the Main Street Real Estate Agent, because I'm all about that connection.
Yeah.
And knowing the families, knowing the people behind it, the vision behind it. It's cool. I think it's very cool. It just makes it more special.
It's really, really neat to be a part of that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a fun new experience for me as well, and a cool journey to be a part of.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I love your enthusiasm for everything you're doing.
Listen, I'm bald. I accept that I look like Voldemort on a daily basis. I have to have a personality and be able to make people laugh.
I love
especially
it.
Especially being a bartender.
Good attitude.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So anything that, you know, someone, they're on the edge of their seats thinking, maybe I should come, maybe I shouldn't. Michael,
I'm
why here.
Here? I'll be able to make you laugh. Come on. Like, just give us a shot. You know, like, we have 15 different wines. There's a chance that I can find something that you'll like, and I can almost guarantee I'll make you laugh every single time.
I'm kind of getting that. And I'm going to say, this is the first one I've had, and I love it already. After hearing from the descriptions, I asked the winemaker what he liked and what the grapes were, and I was like, all about
it.
And
it's
so he said the Cordes,
yeah,
and then the Truco,
Tukulu, yeah.
So those were his two favorites.
So I like the 1526. Okay. So that's our house blend. So mm-hmm. John's our winemaker, mm-hmm. and so the 1526, he actually kind of on his own accord went about and found three different grapes that he thought would work really well together. Made it at his house as like a self project, and then pitched it to the owners.
Oh,
the owners
cool.
loved it, and they gave him like the green light to go mass produce it. And it's,
oh, that's awesome.
I can't believe
he didn't. He was kind of hiding his light there. Yeah.
We are very different people, and I don't fall for that. Like, I'm very extroverted. He's very introverted. So maybe he didn't want to toot his own horn, but I'm going to toot his horn for him.
That's 15, awesome.
26 is incredible. And then personally a white wine drinker over reds.
Yep.
The Bianca is really great. It's a Chardonnay that spends half of its life with oaked chips, mm-hmm. and then it goes to stainless steel. So it's very subtly has that like cream profile to it. It's not very in your face.
Oh, nice. I really like that. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
I like, well, I started out as a Chardonnay drinker. Now I'm really a red fan, but I will always try new whites just because you have to.
Yeah,
you
can't knock them until you try them.
Amen.
Kind of, I feel that about most things in life,
I like it.
Well, thank you.
I like it. Well, I want to say thank you very much for this. So the next thing coming up is Halloween.
Yes.
And your masked.
Yes, for the masquerade, it's going to be October 29th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing pictures of that. I'm going to be in San Antonio, but I'm going to be looking for that.
Oh, well, hopefully you have a wonderful time, too.
Me, too. but again, it was a pleasure, really a pleasure. And it's spectacular here, so we're going to enjoy some more sunshine, some more camaraderie.
Yes.
Meantime, I want to say thank you for stopping by. I'm Nancy Kowalik, South Jersey's Main Street real estate agent, here with Mike at Coda Rosa Winery in Franklinville. You want to make this a stop, guys. Thanks for stopping by.
Check us out.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of South Jersey's Main Street Real Estate Agent Podcast. To learn more about working with Nancy and her 5-star real estate team, visit nancykowalik.com.